The meat of the word, not the milk of the word. We don't want something that will make us feel good today and then be forgotten. Lord, we want meat that will build strength into our life. And we partake by faith right now. We receive the word of God. We chew on, we meditate upon, we eat the word of God. And we let it be nourishment. We let it fill us up. We let it minister whatever it is that you want to minister to us today. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, it is so good to be here. Now, a lot happens in a year. And probably you wouldn't have the time to tell me all that God's done. And I wouldn't have the time to tell you all that God's done in my life. Alan travels constantly. He's just got his residency in Australia. He's now an Aussie. It's not his citizenship. He wants to remain American. But he has his residency, so he walks around Australia saying, g'day, with a Texan accent. He has an Aussie license and he's all set up. He can come and go in the country. But right now we're setting up the ministry in the US and we're putting everything in place. And he is next year embarking on new trips to Mexico. His heart is really to build a Bible school, not build a building, but to travel to Mexico a couple of weeks every year and train pastors, because most of them know very little. They probably know less than you know about the Word of God. And also he'll be traveling to Romania. God has me on a totally different track, a totally different path, and it is the grace of God to me that after 20 years of traveling virtually non-stop, he's giving me more time at home. And that is such a joy to my heart, and he's opening new doors. A few months ago, I got an invitation to go to a mining town in the outback for a women's retreat. These women had never had a retreat before. In our country, if someone wants to open a mine, the government requires that if they're going to open a mine, they must build a town. They must have the wives and the families with the men. And so in building the town, this town that I went to had 500 houses and it had essential services, a fire station, an ambulance station, one doctor, a school, a preschool, a high school, and these 500 houses in the town. And so I didn't really know what to expect. Alan was going to go too because he thought it would be a good experience to see the outback. And I can remember flying in and calling Alan and saying, well, they're not here to pick me up. And he said, well, do you have your luggage? And I said, no, they send a truck from the aircraft round the front of the shed and you get your luggage. I said, I don't have it yet. And there's no PA at this airport. It's just, you know, whoever's on the next flight, get out there now. You know, I said to Alan, I don't know where I am. You know, there's nothing here. And it was the only flight there, and these lovely women picked me up. And there were 13 women at this women's retreat. It was a Baptist church, charismatic Baptist church, and they came and got me, and they said, we don't know what we're doing. We're just hungry for Jesus. And so we don't know if we're going to be doing the right things or the wrong things or with the meetings or looking after you, but, you know, we just want to touch the heart of God this weekend. And so the men work 4 days on and so many days off, and often they don't have weekends off, so they set it for a time when the men would be off. The men took the kids, and the women, we just stayed at church from 9:30 till 5:30, and they just drew on the Lord. They just received from him. And it was probably the most powerful time I've had in the rural areas of Australia ever. And so Alan and I are going to drive back out there. You know, place where you see emus hopping along and there's nothing there. Nowhere to do coffee. But these women, they're just magnificent women. They go there with their husbands and they make a life and they make a home in the middle of nowhere. But I just want to share that with you because that's a door that's opening for me that I believe I'll go back to many, many times. And they're wonderful women. So all over the earth, God's moving amongst women. And I said to Joe and Barbara last night that without being discriminatory, I believe that when women get together to worship the Lord, he comes in a special way. You see, he sees the hurts that no one else sees. He sees the things that are deep in our heart that we can't tell people. And it's a time when we're in a women's meeting of us and him. It's our time. And so today, if you're weary in the service, shake it off. This is your QT, quality time with Jesus. You know, forget about home. Forget about, you might have overdue bills, you know, that are on a fridge magnet on your fridge, and you're thinking, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to get through next week. You might have a situation with your kids that you think, Lord, if you don't intervene, I don't know what's going to happen. You know what? Put that aside today. Just give it to the Lord, put it aside. This is you and him. Turn to the person next to you and say, it's me and him. Hallelujah. Don't rub it in. Raymond was kind of rubbing it in. But you know, you can have as much of the Lord and his presence as you want. He doesn't hold back. He doesn't respect persons as such. You can have as much of him as you desire. And your relationship with the Lord and its depth and its level is not dependent on anything about you or your background, or what you've been through, or your educational standards, or your economic level. You can have as much of the Lord as you desire. Let's breathe in his presence today. He wants to do something so powerful in our midst. Can you feel his presence here right now? Thank you, Lord. So powerful. Thank you, Lord. Just let him minister to you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. For some of you, he wants to touch areas today that you've never allowed him to touch. Hurts and disappointments. Right inside your heart. Deep, deep, deep inside your heart. He wants to set some free of the effects and the consequences of abuse. Disappointment. Thank you. You know, I was talking with an older woman the other day in Australia, and she's 68. And over a cuppa, she was sharing her life. And she said how her parents abandoned her, and she was shunted around from relative to relative. She was always the poor kid in school. She was given whatever she had to wear by others. And she said everybody else at school had a nice lunch where she just had a sandwich wrapped in newspaper. When she was 15, they put her on a train for the city, and by the time she was 17, she was pregnant. Her first boyfriend, first time with a man. And at 17, she found herself in an unmarried mother's home. And so she unfolded her life. And she doesn't have a happy life now today, but she walks with the Lord. You know, she still has the effects of all the ravages of hurt and pain. And she said to the Lord recently, you know, Lord, all my life I've been alone. No family, no one to lean on, no one to help me. And she said right then, the Lord said to her, but I was there. And that ministered so powerfully to her. Yeah, you were there, Lord. And God wants to do some deep things today. Don't worry about what anybody else is experiencing. For some of you, this might just be a teaching in the Word that builds your faith. For others of you, it'll be a life-changing encounter with the Lord to set you free. Now, every week, Alan and I receive emails from people all over who have been disappointed, who've been waiting a long time for answered prayer, for the promises of God, who have lost hope, who wonder if things will ever change in certain areas of their life, if they'll ever break through. They can't see what God's doing. They can't see how God is leading them. And some even write and say, how did I get here? How did I get in this place I never anticipated being in? And so today I want to bring you from the Word of God a teaching on faith and hope. Hope is a very powerful word. In natural terms, it's a soulish word, but it's actually a very spiritual word. And today I believe that the Lord wants to bring us to the place where we as women of God walk in hope before Him. Hearts filled with our hope in the Lord. The Psalms are filled with scriptures of putting our hope in Him. Those who hope in Him will not be ashamed. Hallelujah. That's what the Word of God says. Faith and hope. Now, hope is a noun. It's not an action word. It's not a head belief. You know, sometimes you say to people, how are you going? Well, I'm hoping to win the lottery. They're speaking out of their soul. But hope is a very spiritual word. It's a position of the heart, a heart issue. I want to read you what Hebrews 11, 1 has to say. Hebrews 11, 1 says, now faith is being sure of what we... Sorry, I didn't hear you. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. You will not see what you are believing the Lord for. You will not see what you are believing Him for prayer in, promises, prophetic words, unless you hope in the Lord. Faith latches on to hope. And when you come across a situation and you say, Lord, I'm having trouble believing you in this area. I can't see how this would take place. I can't see how you would do this. I want to suggest to you today that you don't have a faith problem. You may have a hope problem. Got that? Faith latches on to hope. Without hope, there can be no true faith to believe God for those things that we desire to see, that He has promised us, that we're believing for. Scripture says that if we come to God, we must believe that He is. So when you come to Jesus, when you accept Jesus, you have faith. Do you know you have, in essence, all the faith that you're ever going to need deposited in you because Jesus is in you. Yet we must develop and we must strengthen and mature that faith in God. But if you have a situation where you're believing the Lord and your head is going crazy, have you ever had that? God, I don't know how. I don't see how. How could this happen? How could this be? You know, I believe that person's a prophet. I believe that the pastor speaks your word, but Lord, I don't see how. Perhaps you have a hope issue to deal with in your heart. Perhaps you've lost hope in that area. Perhaps you've been disappointed. And the Word of God talks about three visitors coming to Abraham and Sarah. And the visitors talk about Isaac, the promised child. And we read that Sarah laughed in her heart. Now, I know many people criticize Sarah and say, oh, she wasn't a woman of faith. Guys, that poor woman had believed all those years, had desired, had longed to be a mum. That was her heart. And yet the years went by and she got older and older and her heart got hurt and disappointed and filled with pain. And now that she's old and wrinkled, now is she going to have the joy of chasing little ones around? Can it be? There are times when God speaks or we're believing Him, but our heads are going crazy. Do you know what I mean? And we must come to the place where we don't operate in a, well, Lord, I don't see how this could be, but I hope so. I hope you do it. There are times when Alan calls people out for prayer through words of knowledge for healing, and they come out and he says, do you believe that God is able to heal you? I hope so. He says, well, go and sit down and listen to more of the word, and then we'll call you back out again. And then he calls them out about 10, 15 minutes later and says, do you believe that the Lord is wanting to heal you? Yes. They've moved from here to here. And see, Sarah couldn't believe God in that area. She didn't dare to believe God because of the disappointment, the pain, the hurt, the despair that she felt as a woman. So faith has to latch on to hope. And if you're having difficulty believing the Lord, you see, I can believe the Lord for Raywin, no problem. No problem. I can believe the Lord for Emily and believe the Lord for you. But when it's me, if there are heart issues involved, if there are hurts that aren't healed, then I'm going to have difficulty latching my faith onto hope. Got that? Now, faith is being sure of what we and certain of what we do not see. How do we lose hope? The Word of God shows us there are various ways that we can lose hope. Firstly, through a bad report. When you go to the doctor and he says, well, that's it, you're going to die. We had a friend recently who went to the doctor and he'd had a number of strokes, a number of heart attacks. And he said to the doctor, well, you know, how am I doing? And the doctor said to him, well, let me put it this way. I'm not posting you the bill. I'm giving you the bill now because I don't know if you're actually going to make it home. And that man actually went home and he laid on his bed for 3 days. He said to his wife, I'm going to die, I'm going to die. No, I'm just waiting to die. And then he sat there and he thought, but I'm not finished. I still want to preach the gospel. It's still in my heart to be here. He got out of bed, booked a ticket for America, and he went preaching. Hope came back to his heart. He had lost hope. A bad report many times will cause a robbery of hope in our lives. What else will bring disappointment? Loss of expectation. Or when we can't see a way out of a situation or a way through. When we can't see what God is doing. And often when we're disappointed in life, disappointed in circumstances, we women ask a lot of questions. Sometimes we ask questions of friends. Why has this happened? I don't understand what God's doing. And you know, many times human beings can't give us the answers from the throne room. They can't give us the counsel of God unless he releases that to them. And so we're not going to be filled up with the answer and satisfied with it. But we go and we ask questions. I don't understand why this has happened. But you know, when we are disappointed, when we're in pain in our hearts, when we don't understand, and we ask questions of God from a place of bitterness and grief and pain, we are not going to hear from heaven what we want to hear from heaven. There's no evidence in the Word of God that when someone asked a why, God pulls up a chair and says, well, let me just tell you why. There's no evidence of that when we're in that place of pain. And you know, the word why, it's human nature to ask why in the face of loss and bitterness and disappointment. It's human nature to say, God, I don't understand what took place, what happened. And when we're in the middle of life's pits, we don't hear back what we want to hear. Gideon once asked the Lord, why? And the Lord said, be encouraged. But Lord, that's not what I asked. That's not what I want to hear. We don't see the Lord answering a why, but let me show you what he does answer and what he will answer. Do you know the Hebrew language is made up of symbols, not alphabetic letters as we know it. And there is one common symbol for words such as why, when, how, what, where, who, how much. And that symbol means chaos. And when something comes in life and smacks us down, have you ever had anything like that? You didn't see it coming, a life crisis, something that causes you so much pain and devastation when you're in that pit and anybody ever got angry with the Lord? Be honest. Frustrated, angry? Come on, be honest. Some of you are going, the look on your face, oh no. Some people actually feel that God has rejected them when crises come in life. But when you ask the Lord why from the pit and you're bitter or angry, or God, why did I have to go through this when the one next to me didn't have to go through this? Why am I suffering this pain? I've endeavored to live in your way. God, someone else has caused this pain. I'm living with their consequence. Why? When you're releasing that to God with the Hebrew symbol for why, meaning also what, who, where, how much, you're actually releasing a spirit of chaos around your life. So rather than getting the answers and the counsel of the Lord that you need, the revelation that you need, you're releasing confusion and anger and disappointment. And you start to separate from the Lord, and you start to separate from people. Oh, they don't know what I'm going through. They couldn't possibly understand where I'm at. And you start to separate and pull away and feel rejection. But if you come before the Lord with the right attitude, if you come and say, Lord, the entrance of your word brings light. Even in darkness, light shines for the righteous. And Father, I don't understand this. And Lord, I may never understand this. But Lord, I know certain things. I know you love me. I know you sent your Son for me. And Lord, I'm asking you to unfold this. Father, if I've done anything, if I've been out of your will or I've disobeyed you, Lord, if I've been in rebellion, I know that you'll show me and convict me by your Spirit. But unless you do that, I'm going to wait upon you for you to bring light and understanding, for you to unfold your purposes to me. Psalm 25 says that the Lord confides in the man who fears him. The Lord tells secrets. He shares secrets. He unfolds his purposes. And let him speak what he wants to speak into your spirit. You know, when we become bitter in the pain, when we actually get stuck in that place, when we're asking God why. Can you come up here, Rowan? And then the Spirit of God comes to call us on to new places. He brings new revelation, and he brings instruction from the Word. He challenges us and calls us to a new place, a higher place. But we're stuck, like our feet are in treacle, in the pain and the disappointment and hurt. And sometimes it can be that a person is stuck in one area of life. And women often shut down when we're stuck. We shut down that area. We just don't want to go there. We don't want to know. The disappointment is so great that it's just like that area doesn't exist. Oh, yes, I believe the covenant we have with the Lord through Jesus Christ, but in that area, no, I'm just going to move that out of the covenant. You see it when people are believing for healing and the healing doesn't seemingly manifest. Oh, I can believe the peace of the covenant, the deliverance of the covenant. I can believe for household salvation. But healing, I don't want to go there. I don't understand it. So we start to shut down areas. And some women shut down one area of life or more, never dealing with it, never presenting it to the Lord, always living in pain, always masking the pain. But there are other women that shut down totally. And everything they do, everything that they live out is one giant act. And so the Lord comes to call us on, but we're stuck. Now, we're not meant to be stuck in pain in any area of life, because Jesus has borne our sorrows. He's carried our griefs. Amen. Recently, I prayed for a lady. Stay there for a minute. I haven't finished with you. I had a word of knowledge in a meeting. It was a very specific word of knowledge at the end of the meeting. I said, there is an older woman here. I feel that you're around 70 years of age, and I don't want to embarrass you, so don't come out. Come see me at the end of the meeting. But when you were 16, your parents made you give your newborn illegitimate child away. And all your life there has been an emptiness and a pain that has never been filled, never been satisfied. All your life you've lived with this secret. You've carried it as a burden in your heart. You've been stuck in that pain. And do you know, before the words were out, this old woman came running down the front. It's me, it's me, it's me. And if God wants to set me free now, I'm ready for that. See, she was stuck in that one area of life that had broken her, destroyed her, devastated her. And God wanted to touch that area. Sometimes it can be one area. Sometimes it can be multiple areas. And women have a great ability to, oh, well, let's just get on with it. There are needs to be taken care of and people to be ministered to, people to serve. And, you know, Lord, I don't understand it, but let's just get on with it. You know, masking something does nothing. The Lord wants to really heal. So we have a choice. We can be stuck. She's stuck in pain, defeat, despair, depression, oppression, fear, stuck. Or we can be, like the Word says, abiding in Him. We can be stuck or we can be abiding. The word abide means to remain in Him, to stay where He put us. That's what it means. Where did He put us? In His love. To stay in His love. To stay with the revelation that God loves us no matter what. Amen? Thank you. Does that make sense today? For those that are in a place today, even looking back at your life and you see such disappointment, God wants you to focus on the who and not the why. That is the beginning of your path to restoration. The who, not why this happened, not what caused it. But hope begins to be restored when we, as an act of our will, choose to trust the Lord. When you come before the Lord with this declaration, Lord, I'm going to bless you at all times. And for people who are grossly disappointed, being beaten by life, the greatest truth that you can hold on to is God loves me. And I know women that say that in the midst of pain, with tears running down their face. God loves me. I know people that have been so tormented they can't get out their front door. So broken by life, and yet they walk the floor and all they can manage to say is, God loves me. God loves me. God loves me. And that's all they say until they can get out of that place. You see, if you're stuck in one area of life, all you need to do, if you can't move your feet forward in the purposes of God, is extend your hand and say, God, pull me out, pull me through, get me out of this place, do what you need to do. I can't do it, but I know that you can. In counseling women a lot, often I counsel with other people. And, you know, I was with someone recently who'd been through a great bereavement, tragic bereavement. And this guy said, well, you know, the past is the past, just get over it. And I said, she can't. She can't get over it until God heals those areas of her heart. She can't keep walking. And there are times when God knows we go as far as we can go and say, God, I can't get out of this. But Lord, you pull me through. Pull me through. Hope and faith will see what God has promised you manifest. Nothing else. Faith will latch on to your hope. So you must have hope in your heart. Pour out your heart to the Lord. Psalm 25:12 says, who then is the man that fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way chosen for him. It goes on to say, the Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. That means he shares his secrets. He reveals his will. He tells of his heart. And you know, the way that we know God is not through head knowledge of the Word of God. It's not through quoting scripture. It's not through memorization. It's through coming before the Lord and allowing him to show us the aspects of his character and covenant that will minister to us right where we're at. I can tell you, if you're having a breakdown, I can tell you God is a God of peace. He just wants to touch your mind. But, you know, until she opens up and says, God, show me that aspect of your character. Minister that peace to me. Then it'll only be head knowledge. God wants to set some people free today of things that you've thought you've just put in a compartment, put in a drawer. Now, there's lots of drawers up here, isn't there? Or am I different than any other woman? Lots of compartments, everything neatly stacked away. But God wants to minister to some of you today with areas that you've thought, well, I've folded that up, I've put it away. If I put it away, I don't have to think about it. It's not going to affect me. But really, deep down, those things have affected you. They may be the words of people that have put you down. It may be sexual or emotional abuse. It may be abandonment or rejection. It may be something that you've walked through that you had no control over, that others have set the scene and you were carried along. But God wants to touch those areas today, and I don't know who and I don't know what, because he hasn't shared that with me. Maybe it's none of my business what God wants to do. But he is well able and desiring to do that today. Hope begins when we choose to trust God. Hope is restored when we say, Lord, I don't understand. I may never get it, Lord, but I choose to trust you. He wants us living in hope. I want to read to you one scripture that talks about hope, very powerful. Lamentations 3, 21 through 24. It says, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because I'm remembering these things, because I'm calling them to mind, I have hope. If you don't have hope today, in one area or many areas, you can get hope today. Because I'm remembering these things, because I'm recalling them, I have hope. Say with me, I have hope. It says in verse 22, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. Yet this I call to mind. I have hope. Talks of the Lord's great love, his compassion, and his faithfulness. Do you know when you're in great pain, the enemy comes to say, God doesn't care. See what he did? See what he let happen? See what he allowed? How could he allow this if he loved you? The enemy comes to challenge the very character of the Lord toward us. But because I remember these things, I have hope. And some of you need to take hope today. Take it. Receive it. Walk in it. Let it become part of your life. And then latch on your faith to that hope, even in the midst of hopeless situations. Romans 4 says, Abraham, in hope, against hope. That means the guy had no hope to receive the promise of God in the natural. There was no way. Alan says, in American baseball, it's three strikes and you're out. Alan says, regarding the promise of God, that Abraham was an old dude, Sarah was old, and even before she was old, she was barren. Three strikes against them. There was no hope, no way that they could see what God had promised. They were getting older and older and older. And when they were in hurt and disappointment, mainly Sarah, how would she have felt when people called her the mother of many nations? That would have grated on her heart. Would have become a tormenting thing. The enemy brings such hurt to torment us and separate us from God. And yet the word says in Romans 4, against all hope, in hope, he believed God. So it doesn't matter today what you tell me about your circumstances, what you tell me about your husband or your family or anything, your finances, anything. There is hope. You know, I've been believing for my dad to be saved for well over 20 years. He is going to leave this world saved. Do you know that? We call him saved in the name of Jesus. Hope doesn't wane because I know the faithfulness of God and I know the word of God that me and my household are going to be saved. Amen? And even in the midst of the hardest heart, the most difficult situation, grieving, hurt, pain, suffering, disappointment, yet this I recall, I have hope. Do you know what that is? That's maturity in God. That's not chucking a wobbly when we don't get what we desire to see, when it doesn't happen the way we think. I have hope. Now, right now, if you've got a situation or a circumstance that you're thinking of, or a person in your life, a loved one that you're thinking of, and when you think of them, you think, Lord, in the natural, there's no hope. There's no way. Or you're thinking of the promise of God, or a personal desire, or something that you're praying about right now. If you're considering, there is no hope, there is no way, I want you to say with me right now, I have hope. But I want you to say it from your heart. I have hope. I have hope in Jesus' name. Is this touching your hearts today? It's challenging me, inspiring me. No, we need to become locked into hope. Simple-minded people who trust God and believe God, locked into hope. Isaiah 40 talks about waiting upon the Lord. There are times when what you're believing God for takes a lot longer than we had planned, we'd desired. There are times, you know, when we're given a prophetic word. Mark 4 says the enemy comes immediately to take that word. Have you ever had that? Enemy comes immediately. There are other times, scripture shows, when a word is spoken over us and what's called a divine contradiction comes. Abraham and Sarah, Sarah being told she would have a child. And she's getting older and older and older. A divine contradiction. How can this be? And there are times when God speaks words that seem divine contradictions. There are times when I'm called to prophesy over people and the Lord says to someone, you are going to be a successful business person and wealth will be upon your life. And everyone looks around and thinks, but he's been bankrupt 3 times and he can't handle money. I'm serious. There are times when I prophesy over married couples and they come forward. They're not holding hands and they might be a foot away from each other, but they're really a mile away from each other. They don't want to be near each other. And God says, I'm going to use you to restore marriages and build marriages. You know, and everyone in the church going, huh? Now, or there might be someone in the church that really has had a problem with gossip, you know, and just uncontrollable talking, and the Lord will call them out and the Lord will say, yeah, I'm just going to use your mouth to be a blessing and minister, and people are going to tell you things and you'll keep confidences, and everyone in the church going, huh? Isn't this person a prophet? Don't they know? But it is the joy of the Lord to call those things alive which we see as dead. It is the joy of the Lord to minister hope where there's no hope. It is the joy of the Lord to speak a divine contradiction. You might have an alcoholic husband. You might have a husband that's violent. And the Lord might keep speaking prophetic words over you that your husband's going to be a man of gentleness and a man of prayer. And your head's going, huh? I don't see it, Lord. When someone gives you a word, let it land in your spirit. Not your head. Amen. How many of you here are believing God for things? Everyone should be. How many of you are believing for promises that you've been given? Or prophetic words? Things that you really believe in God? How many of you here have situations where in the natural there is no hope? How many of you? Have a look around. It's a lot of people. We need hope restored, hope strengthened, hope so strong that our faith in God has something to latch onto. And then we'll see the miracle. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. I think I'll close and we pray. You know, there are times in the Word of God where people have been redirected in God. Acts 16 talks about the Apostle Paul. He had a desire in his heart to go preach the gospel and a door closed. He didn't expect that door to close, but it just closed on him. And it says that he was in a night season praying. You know when a door shuts and we're not expecting that door to shut and we really think that that's the way, that's the path, that's the road, and suddenly it shuts and we're directed of the Lord? Sometimes there can be such disappointment within our heart. And such questioning, Lord, I don't really understand. I thought this was the way. I thought this was the group of people. I thought this was the opportunity. And says that Paul entered a night season and he prayed and he sought God. And there are times when we have night seasons because of disappointment. We really thought something would take place in a particular way and it doesn't. And then we see in that night season when Paul was praying, he was redirected of the Lord to another way. And he launched out and he preached the gospel. And history shows that because he launched out in this new way, he made a way for the gospel to go around the world, east to west. Before that, the gospel had only been preached north and south, around Asia Minor, Mediterranean areas. And he made a way for the gospel to reach right round Europe, America, the southern hemisphere, Africa. He made that way because God had a better plan. You know, we must come to the place where we leave some things with the Father and we don't allow those things to torment us and hurt us and cause pain any longer. Amen. Why don't you close your eyes right now? I'm just going to wait upon the Lord. I don't know why the Lord required me to bring a word like this today, but I believe very strongly it was what he wanted to minister to you. Some of you just may need to understand the place of hope, standing with faith in what you're believing the Lord for. Others of you might have had a witness in your spirit about a pain or a hurt or a disappointment that you've carried, that you've thought that you've glossed over and you've thought that you've managed and handled throughout life. But deep down you know that that thing has hindered, hurt, and shaped a lot of areas, shaped a lot of relationships, and God wants to set you free. So today we're just going to get into some worship for a time. I may prophesy over some people, I may not. But we are going to pray for you when the Holy Spirit says to pray for you in the way he says to pray for you. And he is going to set you free. Some of you are going to find that you are separated from the past once and for all. Some of you, the Spirit of God is saying, have endeavored to run away from the past. And some of you have been in this church for quite some time, but no one really knows about your past. You haven't shared it, you haven't told them, you don't want to tell them, you don't want people to know. But God is going to separate you from that past, no longer having the ties, no longer having the cords of pain entangling you. God's going to set you free. Hallelujah. Why don't you stand this morning and just begin to worship? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.